Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else while I try and work my way through this whole mental health thing. Now, I do apologize for my voice today. I've been having some sinus issues with the weather, but besides that, I've been feeling fine. Now, today, I do want to talk about the downside of being a brewer. And what I mean by that is the way I like to engage with Magic the Gathering is I like to sit down and just deck build. Like, I'll pull cards out and be like, oh, this would be a cool combination. But what happens when you kind of fall into a slump? And that's kind of what I've been going through. I just haven't wanted to look at cards because I've been, for lack of a better term, having the worst writer's block with trying to brew a deck. And this is where I say it's okay to take breaks. Sometimes life is stressful and you just need to take a step back, take a breath, and then continue on with your life. That isn't to say I'm taking a break, but I had taken a break from brewing decks and I'd just kind of been organizing things. Now, the good thing about organizing things is it lets you kind of look back at things you have done, and then you can kind of find out things you want to do. You can find out things that you did that didn't really work, and you can take them apart. And what really got me thinking about this was one of my friends that I'm in my Commander League with was talking about doing, like, the, I think it's called the 32 deck challenge. And what I understand that to be is you build every color combination and then you just kind of have that as, like, what your whole collection is. And I got to thinking, I'm already most of the way there, but that's not really something I want to do. So, yeah, I just kind of was thinking about it, and I'm like, I have a couple 5-color decks, I have a couple mono-white decks, and I know I have at least one of every other single-color deck. I know I have most of the guilds represented. I know I have most of the shards and wedges represented. I feel like the only things I really don't have represented are the 4-color decks. But the thing is, I never found a 4-color combination that I liked. Like, I ran Saskia for a while, and she just kind of fell flat. I tried doing partners for 4 colors, and they just never seemed to be cohesive in what I was trying to do. Like, a lot of times when I build a 5-color deck, there's a theme to it. Like, you know, slivers or allies, or the most recent one that I had but took apart was, like, legendary creatures matter. It had something holding it together, and I found most of the 4-color decks just don't have that. I mean, you could force it, but I just never found the combination that I liked. But looking back through my decks also, you know, gives me a chance to find a deck that I put on the back burner that's still one of my favorites. I just don't pull it out with my regular rotation, and it gets shuffled back so that I play other stuff. And that's the deck I actually want to talk about today, because, like, it's one of the first decks that I actually kind of took seriously building, and there has to be something to be said for that, you know, when you find that passion. And that's the thing I've kind of been lacking recently. So I just want to get into a deck that I love and talk about why I ran the commander I did and not one of the quote-unquote better ones. And yeah, that's kind of where I am right now. The whole mental health thing is, well, it's never really that great. But that said, I will take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to talk about some Wiznerds. Right, and we are back. Now, the deck that I want to talk about and kind of, you know, analyze a little bit with you here is what I call my Wiznerds deck. That is led by Adelise the Cinderwind. She's one, a blue and a red for a 2/2 human wizard with flying, haste, and whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, wizards you control get +1/+1 till end of turn. And I originally built her when she came out because I liked the idea of Wizard Smash. That's basically it. You just run a ton of cantripping spells, a few low-cost wizards, and then you Nerd Rage out. Funny now that there is actually a card called Nerd Rage, but I have not put it in here. I haven't actually touched this deck in a few months. That said, there are three other potential commanders for the deck that are in the 99. The first one is Najal the Stormrunner, which is 2 BBR for a 5/4 Ifrit wizard. You may cast sorcery spells as though they had flash, and whenever Najal the Stormrunner attacks, you can pay 2. If you do, when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. Copying spells is a big part of what Adelise is trying to do because, well, say you cast something like, let's go with just something as easy as like a cantrip like Curate. Say you're a little light on cards in your hand, so you can Curate and then cast any number of things that copy spells, or, you know, have Varen's thing active anyway, and you just get so much card selection from that. That's why we do stuff like that. Now, the next one we have is Varen, Voice of Duality, which is 1 BBR for a 2/2 Ifrit warrior. It has Magecraft. Whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, Varen Voice of Duality gets +1/+1 till end of turn, and if you casting or copying an instant or sorcery spell causes a triggered ability of a permanent to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. And I have seen a lot of Varen decks, and this isn't much different from them, but having Adelise out and Varen out means that when I cast a spell, Varen's Magecraft will trigger, Adelise will trigger. So that means Varen gets +2 from each of them, but then she sees the triggered abilities and copies it, meaning she gets +4 and Adelise gets +2. So yeah, they work very well together. And the last one we have that could be our commander, if we so choose, is Belmore, Battlemage Captain. 1/3 for a 1/3 bird wizard with flying, and whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, creatures you control get +1/+0 and trample till end of turn. So this is the other side of what helps Adelise. Yes, she has flying. She does not have trample. So Belmore is there to be our homeboy giving us trample. But again, if we wanted to run Belmore as the commander, it would work fairly well. Now, the first thing I want to bring up here is there is at least one infinite combo in here that isn't the main win condition, but is used occasionally, and that is the Dual Caster Mage and Twin Flame combo or Heat Shimmer combo. So, Dual Caster Mage is one red-red for a 2-2 human wizard with flash. When it enters the battlefield, copy target instant or sorcery spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. Twin Flame has Strive, so it costs 2 and a red more to cast for each target beyond the first. Typically, we're not going to be doing that. But it says, choose any number of target creatures you control. For each of them, put a token that's a copy of them onto the battlefield. Those tokens gain haste. Exile them at the beginning of the next end step. And Heat Shimmer is 2 and a red for a sorcery that says, create a token that's a copy of target creature, except it has haste, and at the beginning of your end step, exile this permanent. So, the way the combo works is you cast Twin Flame or Heat Shimmer targeting something that's already on the battlefield. Then you cast Dual Caster Mage. Dual Caster Mage copies the one that's on the stack, making another copy that copies Dual Caster Mage, making another copy that's on the stack, and etc. The end result there is you have as many Dual Caster Mages as you want. They have haste, and you can, you know, swing for the win. And if you have something like Veyron out, you have a very big Veyron on your hands. But let's talk about how you can tell this is one of the decks that I really enjoyed putting together. First up, we have one of my favorite enchantments from the last few years. That's Experimental Frenzy. 3 and a red for an enchantment. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You can play the top card of your library. You can't play cards from your hand, and you can pay 3 and a red to destroy Experimental Frenzy. The number of times I've been able to chain off 8 or 10 spells because of Experimental Frenzy is more than zero. But how you know this is a deck that I really took serious building? It's got the Cyclonic Rift, 1 and a blue, return target non-land permanent you don't control to its owner's hand. It has Overlord for 6 and a blue, so you change target with each. This is where my Pact of Negation lives, which is a 0-cost instant to counter target spell at the beginning of your next end step. I'm sorry, beginning of your next upkeep. Pay 3 blue. If you don't, you lose the game. That's like the biggest panic button we have. This is where my Mana Drain ended up, which is 2/2 for an instant counter spell. At the beginning of your next main phase, add an amount of colorless to your mana pool equal to the spell's converted mana cost. This is where my Force of Will ended up. It's 3 blue for an instant. You can pay 1 life and exile a blue card from your hand rather than pay the spell's mana cost, counter target spell. It's where my Deflecting Swat ended up, which is 2 and red for an instant. If you control your commander, you can do it without its mana cost. You choose new targets for target spell or ability. Fierce Guardianship, which is 2 and a blue for an instant. If you control your commander, it's free. Counter target non-creature spell. So it's just, it's where a lot of my like really good interaction ended up. And on top of that, you know, we've got things like my Juska's Will is in here, which is 2 and a red for a sorcery. Choose one, but if you control your commander, you can choose both. Add red for each card in target opponent's hand, and exile the top 3 cards of your library. You may play them this turn. It's just giving you, well, 2 of the things you want. You want to be making a lot of mana with this deck, and you want to have more cards to cast, because the more cards you cast, the harder you can hit. But speaking of hitting harder, we have our Dreadhorde Arcanist in here, which is 1 and a red for a 1/3 zombie wizard with trample. When it attacks, you may cast target instant or sorcery spell with converted mana cost less than or equal to its power from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. If the card would be put into your graveyard this turn, exile it instead. So, very good on its own, but when you start pumping its power with things like Adelise, that means you're not limited in what you can get back to, you know, one drops. which means you can get, you know, 2, 3, 4, even, you know, up to 5 drops sometimes back, and that's a good way to end games. This is where the Snapcaster that I have ended up, mostly because, you know, 1 blue, human wizard, he's a 2-1 with flash. When it's the battlefield, he gives an instant or sorcery flashback till end of turn. Flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. It's kind of funny going through this and looking at where, you know, all these arguably powerful cards have ended up. Just brings back all the memories of, like, how much fun this deck is to play. I don't know. Moving on. One of the nastiest things I've ever done with this deck is centered around the card Isochron Scepter. It's a 2-mana artifact. It has imprint. When it enters the battlefield, you can exile an instant card with converted mana cost 2 or less from your hand. You can pay 2 and tap it. You may copy the exiled card. If you do, you may cast the copy without paying its mana cost. Now, there aren't as many ways to, like, untap artifacts in here to, like, make things go completely bonkers with it. But I have, in the past, put a High Tide on there, which is a single blue instant. Until end of turn, whenever a player taps an island for mana, that player adds blue to his or her mana pool. Now all we need is something like Yavimaya or Urborg to make everything, you know, an island in addition to other types. I know they can do it. I think every color should have that. Like, white would be so much better if there was something that just said, hey, all of my lands are plains. Right? Either way, moving on. One of the best cards in this deck is Frantic Search. Frantic Search is 2 and a blue for an instant. Draw 2 cards, discard 2 cards, untap up to 3 lands. Now, that does not sound very fun or appealing, but once you get into what this deck is trying to do, which is, you know, continually copy spells, when you get to, like, Reverberate, which is 2 red for an instant. Copy target, instant, or sorcery spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. So now what your Frantic Search says is draw 4 cards, discard 4 cards, untap 6 lands. Which is more than what you originally tapped for both of these spells. And looking through the rest of the deck, we also have things like Dual Strike, which is 2 red for an instant. Whenever you cast your next instant or sorcery spell with converted mana cost 4 or less this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. But it also has Foretell for a single red. The expansion part of Expansion and Explosion is hybrid blue-red for an instant. Copy target instant or sorcery spell with converted mana cost 4 or less. You may choose new targets for the copy. The explosion part of that is X, blue, blue, red, red for an instant. Explosion deals X damage to any target. Target player draws X cards. There is times when sometimes you just want to explosion and then copy that a few times, do damage to everybody, and draw a bunch of cards. Or, you know, you can mill somebody out that way. I have done that before. We also have Twin Cast, which is blue, blue for an instant. Copy target instant or sorcery. You may choose new targets. Increasing Vengeance is red, red for an instant. Copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. If the spell is cast from a graveyard, copy that spell twice instead. You may choose new targets for the copy. It has flashback for 3 red, red. And then we have 2 Planeswalkers in the deck. The first one is Rawl, Storm Conduit. 2 blue, red for a 4 loyalty Rawl. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, Rawl Storm Conduit deals 1 damage to target opponent or planeswalker. So that's his static ability. He has a +2 to scry 1. and it has a -2. When you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. And the other planeswalker we have is Rowan, Scholar of Sparks. Her backside being Will, Scholar of Frost. Rowan is 2 and a red for a 2 loyalty Rowan. Instant and sorcery spells cost 1 less to cast. It is her static ability. She has a +1. That says she deals 1 damage to each opponent. If you've drawn 3 or more cards this turn, she deals 3 damage to each opponent instead. And then she has a -4. With you get an emblem with whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you may pay 2. If you do copy that spell, you may choose new targets for the copy. Will, Scholar of Frost, is 4 and a blue for a 4 loyalty Will. Instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. His +1 is up to 1 target. Creature has base power and toughness 0-2 until your next turn. He has a -3 that says draw 2 cards. And he has a -7 that says exile up to 5 target permanents. For each permanent exiled this way, its controller creates a 4-4 blue and red elemental creature token. Now, nothing against Will, but we are here just to cast Rowan. She is cheap. She does damage. And then eventually she makes it so we can copy our spells without having to cast, you know, another spell to copy it. Now, let's quickly go over the how does the deck win? And there's a few cards that help with that. The first one being Slip Through Space. Single blue sorcery. It has Devoid, which means it's technically a colorless card. Target creature can't be blocked this turn. Draw a card. So this is great if we want to get Adelise through for commander damage, which does happen a lot. If they have, like, flying blockers and I don't have a way to give her trample. Otherwise, there are other, like, wizards that will get very big on the ground. And this is a good way to just sneak some damage through. But the way Adelise really wants to take, like, arguably the first, possibly the second person out at the table is just string together a bunch of spells, make her massively powerful, and then cast something like Assault Strobe in the mix, which is a single red for a sorcery. Target creature gains double strike till end of turn. It's not out of nowhere because it's a sorcery, but it can very much throw a wrench in somebody's cogworks. The next one here is Unleash Fury, which is 1 and a red for an instant, to double the power of target creature until end of turn. And finally, the old favorite, Teemer Battle Rage, 1 and a red for an instant, target creature gains double strike till end of turn, and it has Ferocious. That creature also gains trample till end of turn if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. So that is the game ender. That is... Adelise is huge. You have blockers. I do not care. And that's a deck that I love. And I don't see me ever taking it apart. But I do see me kind of rotating it out when it gets to a point where I start grabbing it over other decks. You know what I mean? And so that's why she's been on the back burner for a few months. But I think it's time to pull her out of retirement. Yeah, that's all I have. So, thanks for listening, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulvey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.